Listen to your word, as we search your word together as a family, as we learn together, God. I pray, God, that we would hear your word giving us a command, Lord, that we are enabled by your spirit to obey, that is, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. And I just pray, God, as we listen to Matt share this morning, I ask, God, that your spirit and your anointing would rest on him. I pray for grace and an extra measure of strength, Lord, for him this morning. And I ask, Lord, that his heart would just be full and brimming with joy to share the truths that we find in your scripture. This is not just knowledge being doled out, but God, wisdom for our very good. And I just pray that we would be able to have ears to hear and eyes to see, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just pretend this isn't behind you. I'll get to a blank page. There. You get nothing till later.
Is it not there?
Oh, never mind. There was nothing there anyways.
Or that was there.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Sean. Oh, good morning, everyone else. So, we left off in Colossians last week, and I've been going through this quite a bit. But something I want to remind you, and then I want to read just verse 15 of Colossians chapter 3. And then we'll pray together. So our intention when we read Scripture shouldn't be to focus on everyone else and what they need to change. It often happens, because I know I do it. In my flesh, I want to think of the ways that others could do things differently, and I want to encourage them. And I get that. But when we come to Scripture, and you probably said this to yourself many times, and others have probably said it to you too, but look at what's going on in your own life. Is anything happening? Is the Lord doing anything? Is it a work of the Spirit that's happening with you, within you? Or have you slapped the Holy Spirit away so many times that there is no spiritual work even happening in your life for you to discern the spirits, discern what is the will of God and what is Satan's plan? So as we go through this, I really want you to focus on your own self. Not in a weird self way, but just to focus on your own self and see if the Lord is speaking to you about something in your life. Let's read Colossians 3. Actually, I'm going to start at verse 12. As we talked last week, right here, when it starts, it says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and," that lovely word, "patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." And the verse that we're going to be looking at today, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Let's pray. Father, I just thank you that we can come to you in prayer and call you Father together when we are made new in Christ, that we can know that we are sons and daughters of a holy and just God, and that we can be confident in our salvation. And if we doubt, then we need to bring ourselves to the Word, because there should be no doubt, because there should be peace within us because of the work of Christ. So, Father, if we are doubting, let us not fret, but come to you. And, Father, this morning, as we go through this verse in Colossians and other verses as well, that we would look to you for the ability to accomplish what you have called us to accomplish, into the likeness of Christ, and that we wouldn't seek to be judging others, but that our seeking would be seeking you. So I just thank you for each here, all ages, and I don't know where everyone's at today, but I do know that you have a word that was perfectly written out that we can read up, and it can speak to our soul. So I just ask that this word speaks to the souls of your people, and if there are those here who are questioning, that it would speak life and new life to them. Open our ears and our hearts and our minds now, in Jesus' name, amen. So yesterday, there was men's breakfast. Thank you, everyone involved with that. And when at the men's breakfast, Wayne Johnston, he had spoke, and I love what he was talking about, because he was talking about the cross. He gave the example of the cross and how it is to point up to him. He was using an analogy and something that the Lord had spoken to him. But the reason I love of what he said is because we need to have that vertical relationship with the Lord, so that we can have that horizontal relationship with the people of God. Amen. And if we do not have that relationship with the Lord, then there's going to be some issues with the other. Now, I've been studying through Colossians 3, and I gave a little devotional the one night at our prayer, just a short one, and Stan had brought up the comment where it says, in here, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So we kind of conversed a little bit there, all of us, the men that were there, as the ladies were in the other room. And I don't know how far we really got, but that's what I've been studying through. And it seems like I could have just wrote an essay on this, with this word, and with put on, put off. And it seems like it keeps getting longer and longer. But I want to dive in that with you today, with let. So, sorry, I was crunching a little bit there with my thing that was in my mouth. I'm going to read the verse one more time, and then we'll go into it. In verse 15 of Colossians 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So I'd like to take you to last week a bit, so that we can understand the concept of let. With if you weren't here, then that's okay. I'm going to let you know what we had spoken about. So the conjunction, it is a conjunction. If is a conjunction. This is from verse 1 in Colossians. If you want to flip back and forth in your Bible, look there. Colossians 3, verse 1. It talked about it being the work of Christ that has happened within us. We have been raised with Christ. So if is a conjunction used to say that the particular thing can or will happen only after something else happens or becomes true. So if we've been made right in Christ, there will then be a representation of that actual thing that has happened. You will see it. Another meaning of it, used to say that a particular thing can or will happen only after something else happens or becomes true. So if, like I said, if we've been saved by Christ, then we have died and rose anew. We must die in order to live. But we still have our flesh. Our flesh still seems to be so tightly knit to us. And as Donna reminded us, that one day we will be in the kingdom of God and we will not have these heavy, burdensome, fleshly, weighty bodies any longer. And we will have new bodies. And there will be no more death. That's actually quite an amazing thing to think about, that there will be no more death. And those who are in Christ will not pass through the second death. That is for a joy for us. But in this, we have the Spirit of God that works within us. So if we've been changed by Christ, then there is something happening. We put on the new self. In verse 10, you can see that through Colossians. You've put on something. Last week we talked about the words within there and how it being renewed. It was talking about change in the Greek. So if we have been changed by God, then we are seeking after the knowledge of the glory of God and the image of God to then fulfill what he has for us. And then verse 9, coming back one, do not lie to one another. I really want you to think about that verse. Do not lie to one another. Think about how you speak to one another. Are your words true? And then it goes on and it says, see that you have put off the old self with its practices. You've put it off. So as we talked about last week in that little paper that I gave you, I hope that was helpful to you, that little paper. And if you could have got online, I hope you did. I know some were encouraged by it. But it gave the putting off and then something else has to be put on. If we put away something that is not useful to us, then we got to pick something else up to use what is useful to us. So fundamentally, the believer undergoes growth in a spiritually changed mind and heart by putting off the old and then replacing the old ways of the flesh with putting on spiritual ways. So a question kind of something that I had when I was going through this, maybe for you to think about too, in verse 15. In verse 15, be saying that it is a primary piece to becoming self-controlled, maturing, and taking into action the importance of the believer's life through caring in the bond of peace with regards to the members of the body of Christ? It was a question I had when I went through this, and I really do believe that that answers a lot of it too, because it is. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here just to tell you. We were called in one body. We are all made new in Christ, called in one body, and that is the focus of this verse and how you act out the calling that has been called on your life. So, put on love is another point within this. Now, if we have put on love, as I talked about this last week too, we must learn the practices of love. We must study it and be enriched by it so that our minds and our hearts will be renewed. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul made much of love because without it, everything meant nothing. Could have all these things, do all these things, speak in tongues, but without love, could give to the poor, it was nothing. And in 1 Corinthians 11, and we had communion last week as well, but in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul addressed what the Corinth church should not have been doing and what they should have been doing in their gatherings and their love feasts. Then in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul is leading into a fundamental clincher on the body itself. And it has many members. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose." Not as we chose, but as he chose. I think that that's a very important thing to notice. He chooses. He chooses. Same as he chooses us. He comes to get us. So he has established each one of us to fulfill the calling that he has for us personally to function in bringing edification to the body of believers. He brings the growth as we put on edifying words, good reports, prayer, a forgiving spirit. And let me add by saying Paul's words to the Corinth church was because they had not been functioning well in their role to be members of one body working and functioning. So he had to address them. He had to speak to them. And we know Paul didn't like to do that, but he had to speak to them to address what was going on. So concepts of let. We're going to get into this a little bit. So let the word. Now, let in English. If you have a little note, if you want to write down notes, you can in your bulletin there. There is a little place. Let is a transitive verb. If you let something happen, you allow it to happen without doing anything to stop or prevent it. Now, let me take you further. With the help of the Bible Hub, maybe you've heard of it, but I have a question for you. What is your first thought when you hear of let and you think about Scripture? Is there any thoughts that come to your mind when you just that word itself? Is there other Scriptures that come to your mind when you hear let? Just think about it. You don't have to spew it out or anything like that. But think about it for yourselves. So something that I was thinking about right away, and as I was studying through some information on this topical Bible information through the Bible Hub, the Old Testament in Genesis 1:3, I'm sure we all know it too, there is a let in there. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So we know that from the Old Testament there that God gives commands or permissions to what is to be. And it signifies his divine command that brings about creation through God's sovereign plan. So there's a let right there. And then as well in Exodus 5:1, I'm sure you know of it, when the people of Israel were wanting to leave Egypt, they wanted to get out. And then it says, "Let my people go," in Exodus 5:1. Let them go, so that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. So the let is a demand or permission. And it's God who is demanding it, reflecting God's authority over earthly rulers. So then in the New Testament, something else that I love here, there's an emphasizing on moral and spiritual directives. So on the Mount Sinai, if you remember with Jesus when he was up there, he was instructing his followers. And in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's from Matthew 5:16. So with this let right here, there is a place for believers to live in a certain way to glorify God's name. Then there's another let, and there's more lets than this, but another let with it as well is in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which has to do with identity as well, but let it be. So the theological implication with this, with the word let, underscores and brings about an interplay between divine sovereignty and human responsibility. I love using the word human responsibility. So God let us come to him. God is in control. God brings us to him. God's authority commands us and thwarts us. So if something is to be letting or something should be let to occur, it implies a call to align with God's will and purposes. So let, again, let's look at the verse in Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule. And then we know in Job, there's a whole thing with Satan who's let to do what he wants to Job, but not to take his life. He's let to do something by God. So a practical application with this is, for us believers, a frequent biblical exhortation to let something happen serves as a reminder of the active role, and this is from the Bible Hub specifically what they said, active role they play in their spiritual journey. It calls for a response to obedience, faith, and alignment with God's will. Whether it is letting one's light shine, letting peace rule in one's heart, or letting the word of Christ dwell richly, these commands encourage a life to reflect the character and purpose of God. So we let the peace of Christ rule within us. So further, Colossians here. Remember, said in the beginning, if you had been raised with Christ, then in verse 2, set in place, as in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. So if we've been raised with Christ, then we must then set in place. We must put our minds in the right place. We must do the same thing with our bodies. We must set our bodies to the will of God. Romans 8:7. I'm just going to give you these verses to take for yourselves. If you want, write them down. Romans 8:7, Romans 8:6, Romans 8:10. You can just read all of Romans if you want, which would be helpful. But it brings about what the purpose and the glorification of the Spirit is for the Christian in their life and how God does the work. And in this thing here, in this verse here, with the peace of Christ ruling within us, another verse for you guys to look at, for all of you, ladies and gentlemen, is John 14:27. I'm going to read it, but you can look it up later. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. So, let the peace of Christ rule. It's like a judge. The peace of Christ is like a judge for us. He is to judge us. He is to rule us. So the word judge here, to rule, is to judge. To act like a judge is what it is. And arbitrate is the word in the Greek that comes out with the word in verse 15 with rule. The peace of Christ rule. And it is to make an official decision that ends a legal disagreement between people or groups without the need for the disagreement to be solved in court. I thought that was kind of interesting. So, the same thing that Christ has done for us. He has paid our price. He has stood in before us on behalf of our Lord and Savior, God Himself. Christ is our Lord and Savior, but He has stood before us on behalf of the appeasement of God that was to destroy us, or all that would be destroyed if we don't believe in Jesus' name and trust him and be forgiven of your sins. So we let the peace of Christ dwell richly in us and rule our hearts. And then in Ephesians, I know I'm blasting you with a bit here this morning. In Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. So Christ is our peace. And if you want to take some more verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:16. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Take that and look at it later. Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That's where we should be. So if we're letting the peace of Christ work within us, then we have submitted to the will of God. We have submitted to the plans and purposes of God for us in the body of believers. We're brought into the body of believers. This is where we choose to gather here together as the body of believers. So we then have to work together. So we set in place what needs to be called into one body. There is another part to this verse as well, and it is, to which indeed you were called in one body, this is verse 15, in one body, and be thankful. You were called into one body. When it says in one body, it is a focus on the calling along with a high emphasis on unity. So in plain terms, we are called into unity. This isn't to do with your soul and salvation, this part of this verse. That's not what it's talking about. We are set in God, and if we have been raised with him, then we already have souls that are kept with him. So this verse right here at the last part, to which indeed you were called in one body, we are called into one body. That is our calling. That is our not our goal, but your calling is to be into one body, into the body of Christ. And then we must let him rule our lives by the peace of Christ. So if he has given us life, then we understand that there's that vertical relationship with the Lord. Vertically and then horizontally with the people of God. So we must cultivate a vertical relationship with our Savior in order to cultivate with the people of God. I want to leave you with some application with this, and I'm going to use it on the PowerPoint so you can see it and wake you up. So this teaching in daily life, is it there? There we go. This teaching in daily life involves several practical steps. So I know there's a lot of information with this. I know I didn't go in depth with everything. I hope you took those verses there. But before I say this and go into this, the peace of Christ is to do a work beyond our flesh. It's not our ability to make the peace of Christ work within us. And that's why a major focus with this whole thing here where it says, to which indeed you were called in one body and be thankful. There is a thankfulness that should be happening within us. And it comes through practice. And you're not going to live perfectly in unity with everyone all the time. There's going to be things that come up in your life that you say things you shouldn't. It's a reality. But we can repent. And that's why, as well, we talked about last week about forgiving. We should seek to forgive. Do we seek to forgive? That's a question for yourselves. Do I seek to forgive others, or do I seek to hold a grudge? Because we know what a grudge can do and the destruction that it can bring to us and to all of our family members here in the body or at home. We can just be a wart in the end, and no one wants to be around us. So, forgive. So cultivate a vertical relationship, which we've talked about, with God. Spend time in prayer, reading the Bible, and meditating on God's word. This strengthens your personal relationship with God, which in turn helps you relate better with others. Then, practical love and forgiveness. Make a conscious effort to show love and forgiveness in your interactions. Remember that love is a choice and an action, not just a feeling. Excuse me. Reflect on 1 Corinthians 13 and strive to embody these qualities or those qualities. So seek peace in relationships. Aim to resolve conflicts peacefully and maintain harmony in your relationships. This might involve active listening. And I know that listening is hard. It is something you have to train yourself to do. It is a habit. And I know we've talked about habits. I don't know what it takes, 30 to 20 times or something until something becomes a habit. I would train yourself to listen if you don't listen well. It is a good gift to have. So this might involve active listening, understanding different perspectives, and being willing to compromise. Next thing, let the peace of Christ rule. So now allow the peace of Christ to guide your decisions and actions when faced with challenges. Remind yourself of God's presence and peace, and let that influence how you respond. And again, that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to figure that out. I mean, I still slip many times in these areas too. This is not to point out or judge you or us judge others, but for us to go, Lord, help me to do this. So focus on unity. I hope your minds are focused on unity. Work towards unity with your community, whether it's your family, church, or workplace. Encourage cooperation, support one another, and build each other up. Live out your faith. Apply the teachings of the Bible in your daily life and your actions. Be honest, kind, patient, compassionate with everything you do, not just some. Reflect and grow. Regularly reflect on your actions and attitudes. I don't know if you do this. I do. I come back and reflect on my responses and my attitude to things, because often the Spirit will bring up within me, I don't know if you should have said that. Maybe you shouldn't have said that like that. Maybe your tone, I brought up this morning, tone, our tone matters. So seek to grow spiritually by learning from your experiences and striving to align yourself more closely with God's will. And that should be our desire, right? Is to seek after God's will. We're to know His will. That's what we're supposed to strive after once we become saved. So one last question, a question I have for you. How do you think you might start incorporating these steps? If you need help and you need those steps, I can give them to you and I can print them off as well. They were just something that come out from all of this. If you need help with that, just let me know. Or if you can remember everything that was just said there because your mind just is like a steel trap and just takes everything in, then good. You got it, and that's good. And I want to give you a little comical thing that I heard before we close here. You may have heard this story before, but there was a man who bought some donuts, and he was in, this may not, I'm ad-libbing a bit here, but he bought some donuts, and he sat down in a cafeteria to eat his donuts. He sat down, and there was a man across from him when he sat down in that cafeteria. And as he was sitting there, he then decided to open the donuts and then partake from the donuts there that were in front of him. This man that originally bought them. Anyway, he sat down doing this. And the man across from him was looking at him as he was doing this. And then this man took one of the donuts that was across from him as well. And he was kind of like, What's up with this? Like, why is this happening? I guess, whatever. So then this man who originally had bought the donuts took another donut. And then, as well, the man across from him proceeded to take another donut from him as well. So this went on for a little bit. And then he was becoming more and more frustrated as he was sitting there and this was happening. And it went on a few times afterwards. And then as he goes to get up, he looks down on top of his bag that he had with him and he sees his box of donuts. So this man that was across from him, those were his donuts. And he was eating this other man's donuts. But he just had sat down and the donuts were in front of him, so he just thought they were his donuts, right? Are we quick to respond is something. Are we quick to respond when we see something? Or are we slow? Slow to speak, slow to anger is what we're to be. And we're supposed to love brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. So if we see someone who is in need and we have that thing to give, we should be willing to give that thing to them. And if they need help in other ways to be pushed forward, then we should take hold and push them forward too. So I'm going to stop there so we can sing.